Good evening. Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I almost forgot where I was for a second, a little confused. Now I know where I am. I'm right here in the Firefall studio talking to you. Spreaker.com, broadcasting live, archived here. You can download it. We also archive for download at the old Blog Talk Radio site. You can listen to us on iTunes and iHeartRadio. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God. Looking at the Book of Acts Church, trying to understand how they did what they did for as long as they did with the demonic and the governmental and the religious adversaries, and there's a lot to learn there. We want to serve the Lord, at least I do, the way they did, that world-shaking influence they had, restoring the priesthood of the believer. And to do that, we really need to take a deeper look into Scripture. Won't be watered down, won't be filtered, and sometimes I may step on your toes, but I'll be doing it in love because I want you to see what he wants you to see so that you can live the life he intended in this fallen world. Church age is still in effect. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to contact us and support us, you can also do so at firefalltalkradio.com. You can reach out to us, ask questions, and like I said, if you want to support what we do here, that would be great. We would appreciate it. You can bookmark us on the Spreaker app, and if you like the show, you can give it a star, gold star. Gold stars are good. We appreciate all of our listeners here, Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeart Radio. Sunday night, 7 p.m., we do something called Reflections in the Dark. We look at prophecy, the end times, what's going on the news, from a supernatural or paranormal perspective. A couple weeks ago, I was in Alabama. I did a seminar. It was recorded. It is edited. It is up and available. If you'd like to see it, go to firefalltalkradio.com and send me a request using the contact button. I will either A, send you the link with a password, or I will direct you to a password-protected section of supernaturalresponse.net, which is better suited for that. But you write me, and I will send that information. If you're watching the news, you know that America is being pounded by storms. The Midwest, there have been deaths from the tornadoes and the rain. Well, the storms are both literal and figurative. There's a shaking going on. And there's more to come. And unfortunately, there will be more tears, and many more will die. And the topic of the show tonight will be very appropriate. Praise reports and prayer requests. Well, I praise the Lord for my home, for my loving wife. It's not easy being married to me, especially with my calling. You never know what's going to show up in the middle of the night. You never know what the enemy is going to do or how he's going to do it. So that's a praise report and a prayer request for you to pray for her. I praise them for my family, my two boys, my daughter-in-law. Jesse and Aubrey are celebrating their third anniversary this week. I think it's 3 years. Hopefully I didn't mess it up. I think it's 3 years. I praise him for his ministry. Praise him for you. You do not know how much you keep me going. There are days that the struggle and the attacks and everything is so dark and so heavy that you just wonder why. Why do you keep going? The Lord will love me anyway. His grace is sufficient. And then I remember you. I remember the commitment you've made to me and the commitment I've made to you. So in that regard, I praise him for you. I praise him for his favor, the provisions, the dreams, and the visions. I praise him for healing and renewed vigor. I praise him for the ability to be back in the gym and to be preparing for SRT's next mission. And that's going to bring out the prayer request of divine wholeness, health, and healing for me, for my wife, my family, for all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. Let's walk it out the way he intended so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. We can rise up with wings as eagles. We can go rescue the lost, heal the sick. We can have an encouraging word in due season and not be beaten down by this world or the cares of this world. I pray for his protection over me and mine. I pray for inspiration. And I pray for the remnant to wake up, to rise up, to answer the call to action. Folks, we need the laborers to awaken. We need the prayer warriors to awaken. We need the ones who hold the provisions in their hands to let it go. Also, for me and my family, I have an unspoken prayer request. The Lord will know what it is. Prayer covering for SRT. As I said, we've taken the biggest mission we've ever taken to date. Most dangerous. We will be in Atchison, Kansas this August during the solar eclipse, shooting a documentary, doing what we do, confronting the powers of darkness. We need your support. We need our international aerial support team. I'm surprised yet I haven't had anybody reach out and say, how do I sign up? But I know it's 3 months away, and as we get closer, you'll get committed. But I will tell you right now, folks, the attack started 2 months ago when we took the mission. So if you want to pray, please do. Prayer request for the ability to operate efficiently in the calling. Exposing the enemy is not easy to do. They fight back. They don't want to be exposed. The ability to seek the lost, help the dying, destroy the works of the enemy. That takes a lot of things. It takes finances. It takes equipment. It takes prayerful direction. And it takes people walking alongside of you. As I mentioned, the documentary, The Deep Narc, Deep Darkness, Deep Narkness. That's a whole nother documentary about this thing called the Narkness. Nah, Deep Darkness that I announced in Alabama. It's moving forward. I believe it's going to shake the secular world and the church world unlike anything that's ever done it before. If you'd like to help financially, prayerfully, or in any other way, write us at Firefall Media Group, lowercase, all one word, at gmail.com. The Deep Darkness website is being developed. If you would like to participate in the project, right now we don't really need anybody in the production part of it, but if you have post-production skills, maybe marketing skills, you can send a resume to that email address. Got some praise reports I need to throw in here. Months ago, I asked you to pray for Angelica in Ohio. She's one of our original supporters. Some months, she was one of the few people that kept us going. She is finally back home after two long, protracted hospital stays of 21 days each and then a month in rehab. Keep praying for complete healing and restoration for her. Last week, I asked you to pray for my friend Sheila in Memphis. Her mother was not doing well. Well, she's doing better. She's well, and she's back home. I'm also going to be posting two links on onsolomonsport.org. I have been asked to share two medical fundraising needs. You do as the Lord leads. I have no way to vet them. I do know the people, or I do know one of the people involved. The other one was a recommendation from somebody I know. You do as the Lord leads. The only other praise report and prayer request I have is Kim in Fort Mitchell. So I praise God for my salvation, my sobriety, and my children, for his love and protection, my health, my dog, and what he provides for us. Kim, right there, go back and look at your message and focus on that, your salvation, your sobriety, your children, his love for you. That's the key that keeps you going. It says the enemy is trying to break me down by using my husband, addiction, control, emotional abuse, all familiar spirits that I have banned from my life. I pray protection from that every day. Let me share this with you, and this is not part of the sermon. We've talked about familiar spirits being family. That's where we get the word family from. And they used to do that with me, too, until finally one day I decided that the person that they were familiar to no longer existed. I was born again, a new creation. The one that they were attached to no longer existed, and they had no power over me. When you get to that place, their power will be broken. Issues at home with her husband, inviting things back into their life, and she's praying hard for protection over her children in Yeshua's name. Save her husband's soul. Open his eyes. Give him the strength to be what you want him to be, Lord. Two unspoken prayers for the father. And she prays that her mother needs salvation too. Same spirits trying to break her are attached to the mother, probably through that lineage. Protect the baby and I. Keep us safe. Hold your hands over us. And basically she said, I'm tired, Father. Kim, you're not alone. A lot of us are tired. We've become weary. But when you become weary, don't lose hope. Just let go control. Let him do it. Father, we come to you now in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names. We stand together, unified, from Orlando, Florida, to Fort Mitchell, Alabama, to Birmingham, to South Africa, to Texas, all across the United States and all across the world. You are not alone. You are with us, Lord. We're not alone. Right now, send your angels to minister to those that need ministry, for protection for those that need it. Father, we praise you right now that you are the God of all creation. You are the King of the universe. And because of that, we are under your complete and total covering. Doesn't mean the enemy quits. Doesn't mean the enemy won't try. But we're asking that Psalm 91 covering for each and every one of us. Shine your glory down upon us, Father. You are great and greatly to be praised. We take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. We claim the mind of Messiah. We cast down every vain imagination that the enemy would try to use to exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God, Most High, our Father. We thank the Lord for the cross. We thank him for the empty tomb, for the upper room, for his love and his mercy and what he's done for us, for the Holy Spirit that he sent and the fire that still falls. Now, Lord, I pray that you would raise up those that are bent over and weary. Strengthen the feeble knees and the hands that hang down. Encourage, empower, and inspire us this night in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So last week I read a scripture. The word meditate, I saw somebody use it the other day on Facebook, who I believe is a believer, but the way they presented it sounded more like the meditation that the Eastern mysticism does, where you empty your mind and let whatever thoughts come to you. Now, that's not it. I meditate upon his word. I meditate upon him. I'm never empty because I'm always filled by the Spirit. So I've been thinking a lot about Revelation 22:20. The one where he says, he who testifies to these things, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Adonai Yeshua, Lord Jesus. Surely I am coming quickly. And I've always had a problem with, he says, surely I'm coming quickly. And then John the Revelator ends it with, even so, come, Lord Jesus, or Yeshua. That made no sense to me, but I think I got it. I think the Lord showed it to me, so I'm going to share it with you. That word quickly has many different meanings. Variations of the meanings of that word are without delay, soon, or by surprise, suddenly. Now, which one of these ties into previous words given by the Lord? Suddenly, by surprise. So if we look at that, surely I come suddenly by surprise. If you say even so, come, it makes more sense. Oh, yes, it'll be a surprise and some won't be ready. Even so, come. It's the promise of a surprise. The promised surprise of his arrival. I mean, I could simplify it down to a surprise party or a surprise. No, this is bigger than that. This is a rescue. This is a retrieval. This is snatching us out of a fallen world that gets worse by the moment, that even all those years ago, they didn't want to be here. I don't want to be here except to do what he's called me to do and to finish the job. But even so, come. See, the early church did not see the world or its governments as something to admire or to seek help from. It took almost 300 years before that virus got into the body. It happened under Constantine. It began in 313 AD with the Edict of Milan, decriminalizing Christianity. It was solidified almost exactly 1692 years ago at the Council of Nicaea, May of 325 AD. And then it was finalized in 380 AD with the Edict of Thessalonica, when Christianity became a state religion. See, the leaders of that day sought the government's protection and their aid, and it cost them their spiritual freedom. Even today, people are willing to give up freedom for help. The other thing that it did that can never be forgiven is it disconnected us from the Jewish calendar, from Passover, and all such celebrations were banned and outlawed in the beginning of that anti-Semitic spirit, which is still in the church, rose up. So I have to go back and look at the book of Acts, church, the times in which they lived, the atmosphere in which they lived. We don't understand it here in America or in the civilized world. That's that quote, civilized world. But in the Middle East and Africa and other places, they understand what it's like to live like that. If you look at Acts 8, verses 1 through 4, Saul was consenting to his death, and I mean Stephen. At that time, a great persecution rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. This is after Stephen's been stoned to death and Saul of Tarsus held their clothes so they didn't become stained with the blood of Stephen. Then verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That persecution became like a pollen that spread the seeds of the word everywhere. They suffered havoc, persecution, imprisonment, death. They were living in the Roman Empire, which was a polytheistic people that would tolerate private religious beliefs as long as it didn't disturb the public decency or the order. It was a society where low morals prevailed, kind of like today. And a conversion to believing in Jesus of Nazareth required major changes in their values, their standards, and their behavior. Believers of that day were despised. They were considered socially, culturally inferior. And many of them did belong to the lower class, but not all. And even with all of that, the world took notice that this new faith, this new movement, was turning the world upside down. Acts 17:6. These have turned the world upside down. That's what they said about them. That's what the leaders said about them. Well, what inspired them? What inspired the people of that day, seeing the kind of persecution, seeing what was happening to them, to go out there and still preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick in public, amongst the crowd, not take them into a back room, cover them up, don't let anybody see what you're doing. Oh my goodness, don't cast out that demon here. No, if it was needed, they did it. And it happened, and the Lord confirmed it with signs and wonders. Oh, and they were persecuted, they were beaten, they were disciplined. But the kingdom spread. You see, what kept the early church going under those circumstances was that word I used last week, Maranatha. The Lord comes, or depending upon if you want to look at the Aramaic, the Lord has come. Our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord. The Lord's coming. It's a prayer. If you say it right now, wherever you are, Maranatha. Maranatha. Come, Lord. You're saying, Lord, you're praying. You're praying for him to come. Paul talked about it a lot. That's what drove the early church. That's what drove them to do what they did. You see, the gospel, the Great Commission, salvation, it was serious business. And they were about their Father's business. They weren't dissuaded. They weren't talked out of it. They were willing to give up everything for it. And Paul took it so seriously. You were considered anathema. You were considered cursed if you didn't love the Lord and desire his quick return. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Oh, Lord, come. Come. Come stomp the enemy. Come. Come end death. Come. Come end sickness and pain and everything the fallen have done to this world. Come. And the early church felt very strongly about it. I got to tell you, the more I say it, the more I speak right now, something's rising up inside of me. But as I began to look at it, the early church took something else seriously, too, that in this day and age, in 2017, it does not apply. They took vows and oaths very seriously. See, vows are voluntary expressions of devotion. Sometimes it's met by a special condition, sometimes not. If you made a religious vow back then, you were saying, if God does this, I'll do that. It was the give and take of devotion. Sometimes, like the Nazarite vow, they were made completely out of devotion to the Lord. But whether conditional or not, the emphasis to the early church and to the prophets was keep your vow. An unfulfilled vow is worse than one that's never been made. Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 23. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. However, it's not a sin to refrain from making a vow. But once you voluntarily make a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. So there are two things there. Do not hesitate to obey what you vowed, and keep and perform what you've said. Deuteronomy 23 is clear about that. You'd be better off not making any vow at all, but if you make it, do it. Keep your word. And of course, in the Old Testament, they were talking about tithes, gifts, and offerings. We could talk about that today. I can't tell you how many people in 28 plus years of ministry have made vows to me of support or, whatever. I'll help you or your family will never have to want for anything, or you've got the money that you need. And not fulfilled it. And I just give it up to the Lord. But keeping our word in 2017 seems to have no value. We're surrounded from media to politics to religion to everywhere of people that think that if I say something, I really don't have to do it. I can change my mind. I don't even need to tell you why I'm not doing it. I just don't want to anymore. Well, that doesn't fly in the kingdom. Psalm 22:25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. Psalm 66:13, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows. Psalm 76:11, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. Psalm 116:18, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all the people. But here's the key, and here's how it flies today. It's a matter of the heart. It's not legalism. You know, Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. Don't grit your teeth. If you're going to grit your teeth and be frustrated and angry, keep it. But he loves a cheerful giver, and he'll bless you so much that shall overflow onto your chest and just cover you in blessings. But do it because you want to. Do it out of love. See, a promise from the mouth must be a promise from the heart. And I think many people that I've met make these word promises, these word vows. They either want my favor or I don't even know what they want. I can't get into all their heads. But they say things and they don't do them. And I was raised very old world. If you say it, you do it no matter what it costs you. And there's a scripture for that. Psalm 15:4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Meaning if you make an oath, you'll do whatever it says, no matter what it costs you or how bad it hurts. I've always lived my life that way. I was raised that way, even before I knew the Lord, and even more so now. If I say I'm going to do it, I'll do it, no matter how hard it becomes. Because I don't want to stand before him and hear my words played back to me and realize, oh my goodness, I did not do that. And if for some reason I forget, I get over, you know, I'm a one-man band, and sometimes things get lost in the mix, and I finally realize, oh my goodness, I forgot. I am quick to apologize and take responsibilities for my failures. And I don't make excuses. And I don't expect anybody to make excuses to me. If you say you're going to do it, do it. Because someday you're going to have to give an account for every word that you've spoken. Matthew 12:36-37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And I never understood how he was going to do that until he began to explain to me how he created us, what the DNA does, and the fact that your DNA, my DNA, is recording everything being said. Everything you hear, everything you experience it. And each cell is multiple terabytes of information. So when you stand before him, literally your DNA is going to play it all back for him. Every idle word. Boy, that's frightening. It sends a shudder down my spine. Well, I didn't really mean it, Lord, but you said it. You thought it. You felt it. Well, I wanted to. I wanted to do it. But you didn't. I may have already told this story, but it applies for anybody that didn't hear it. We went through a period of time where I did something for a family that when it was all said and done, basically what I did, I testified on somebody's behalf. And I made sure that they didn't get sent away for the rest of their life, putting my life and my well-being on the line to do so. And afterwards, two members of the family approached me. One thanked me profusely. The second said, "You and your family will never have to want for anything." They did not keep that promise. In fact, they were in bondage to that promise, and everything they did failed. And one day, about 2 years later, I reached out to this person, and I said, "Here's what the Lord showed me. You made a promise you didn't keep." Well, that was based upon this deal going through and that, and I said, "No, that's not how vows work. You said it, God heard it, he wanted you to do it, but I'm releasing you." Within 24 hours, every deal that had been held up when I released him broke through. Now, you would think that person would go back and say, "Hey, Richard, what do you need? How can I bless you?" I never heard from him again. He showed me his character. He showed me what was really going on inside of him. And that's between him and the Lord. And someday that conversation will be played back for him. So what we say, we should mean. See, the Lord did what he said he meant. He's going to keep his oath. His oath is binding. See, in ancient societies that lacked laws and documentation and any means of legal enforcement, binding transactions depend upon the power of a person's word. The oath maintained honesty. You see, God made an oath. He made a promise. He said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people from whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.'" Exodus 33:1. Deuteronomy 6:16. "And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." Psalm 132:11. "The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon you a throne, the fruit of your body." God is a God of his word. He even established boundaries with oaths. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5. "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not to pay." It's a call to integrity, James 5:12. "But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any oath. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. If you say yes, make it yes. If it's no, make it no." Yeshua had made a promise in the upper room. In John 14:3, he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And of course, the two angels on the Mount of Ascension in Acts 1:11 confirmed it. It says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Well, God's word and promises are confirmed by two or three witnesses. There's two witnesses right there. Pretty good angelic witnesses. And that's why they understood. They believed him. They took him at his word. Where is the church of 2017? We're to be watchful. We don't know when he's coming back. We talked about that. I mentioned it in the newsletter. Matthew 22:42. "Watch therefore. You don't know what hour your Lord is coming." Shouldn't that mean we should be on alert? We should be on guard? You see, they were motivated by his return. They were motivated by seeing him again. And in all of his teachings, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, the condemnation went to the man who did nothing with what he was given. He simply hid it and buried it. See, they were convinced that at any moment he would return for them, because they were believed his vows, they believed his promises, and they put all their energies into serving him because they wanted to be prepared, they wanted to please him. They wanted to be ready. And I look today, and I'm not trying to get condemnation on you. I'm trying to warn you that there's a lion out there seeking to devour you, your family, and your children. There's a lion out there, many lions. There's not just one. Hasatan has got his own eye on the prize of Jerusalem and the Antichrist and being worshipped, but there's innumerable fallen angels and possibly millions of demons who are doing everything they can to keep you from doing your part, from being ready. Oh, don't worry about it. You can go in there. You can watch that. You can do this. Oh, grace, grace, everything's grace. He'll forgive you. Do it anyway. Where's the strength of the body? Where's the backbone and the will of the body to say no? No matter what it costs me, no matter what it means, I will do what I said I'd do, and I'll do what he asked me to. Where are the people that'll stand there toe-to-toe with the enemy, whether on their knees or out there doing in the battlefield? Sword in their hand, the word in their heart, the name of Yeshua on their lips, and saying, no more. You shall not pass. You shall not have another sheep. You shall not have another child. You shall not destroy another marriage. Oh, the enemy will attack. The enemy's always looking for a fight. We can't back up. We have to band together. We have to press on. We have to honor him. We know he's coming back. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, with all his saints. Colossians 3, starting verse 1, if you raise with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Therefore, let's jump down to verse 12 of Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's you, the elect of God, the elect that would be deceived if he didn't cut the time short. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just think about your life for a moment. Is there anything you've done today, yesterday, maybe last week, maybe over the last month that if he had shown up and split the sky at that moment, you would have been embarrassed? 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. See, abide in him because he abides in you. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We've talked about abide, permanent residence. John 15:6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them to throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We need to be abiding in him at his coming. And that's why Paul was so harsh about this, and why he counted it all loss for Messiah, and it was all about being ready. See, First John, written by John the Beloved, who starts out the scripture, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I've made them, and I've wept, brokenhearted, knowing that he saw me do it, and he knew I was going to do it. Philippians 3, starting verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed, I also count all these things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Messiah Yeshua has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. He made a vow. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Sounds like a promise to me. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, that's a promise. I believe it's a promise of rapture. You may not want to believe that. That's fine. It doesn't change my beliefs. But I believe that he will be presented a glorious, unblemished, holy bride at his appearing. That's a promise of relationship. That's a relationship covenant. But see, the opposite is also true. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Messiah does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Messiah as both Father and Son, 2 John 1:9. Yeshua told the Jews, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, John 8:31. See, he liked to use that word abide, remain, to stay, take residence. He was indicating a profound, intimate, enduring relationship. Why would I want a relationship with the world? I don't know what the Church of 318 and AD were thinking. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking in those meetings. Were they even born again? Were they spirit-filled? What, did they hear the Spirit say, this is not good, don't do this? Because the church was never the same after that, and we've had a fight to get back to that early church influence, and we've had moments of it, but we've not gotten there yet. Maybe the fear was too great. Maybe the persecution over those hundreds of years was too great. Maybe the men that really walked in it and the men and women that really knew it had died off and their children unfortunately didn't know it. And those that came later were discipled and raised up by them that didn't know it. I make jokes about seminaries being cemeteries, but I'm not joking. It's the truth. I've seen people with fire and passion go in and come out dead in the spirit and build dead churches and dead ministries that do nothing for no one but raise money. Paul kept reminding the body of his promises. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so will God will bring with him those who sleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. See, he told that to the church in Thessalonica and the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass. It shall be brought to pass the saying which was written. Another promise, by the way. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives victory through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He made a promise, and then he sealed that promise. He who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the vow. That's what made Pentecost literally so powerful, so explosive. It wasn't just the fire from the throne room, although that would have been enough. It was a universal declaration of the proof of what he had done. It was a universal declaration, both in the natural and the spirit, for all the angels, fallen or otherwise, and all the demons to see, these are mine. And how you know that they're mine is I have put my creative power inside of them, and the words they speak are my words. So when you look at it all from that perspective, and then let's go back to 1 Corinthians 16, 21 through 22. This is New Living. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Oh, our Lord, come. See, Paul was using a formula. If you will, a spiritual one. That the Lord used at the Last Supper to pray. It was the celebration of that event, a celebration of what he did. It highlighted the urgency of loving him. Because if we loved him, we would obey him. And we would be waiting for him. See, love means you're waiting for him. You're awaiting his return. You yearn for it the way the earth yearns and groans for the return of the king. You see, if you don't, well, this is what Paul's saying. I'm just explaining what Paul said. If you don't, you're not his. You don't belong to him. And because of that, by your own choice, you're cursed. See, they knew that. They knew that about their loved ones, their families, their friends, their associates. They didn't want them to be cursed. They didn't want them to be left here. I know so many people that will be left to the savage actions of the fallen when they come into power. And it's frightening to think of. Oh, they can't see it. They're willing to sell their soul now. What will they do then? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. I'm coming by surprise. Even so, come, Adonai Yeshua, come. Coming suddenly by surprise. You won't know it. There'll be no alarm. It's just going to happen. Bang, there he is. Were you ready? Are you ready? If it happened right now, what would happen? Would you go? Would your loved ones go? Would your sons and your daughters, boyfriends, girlfriends, uncles, aunts, cousins, would they go? If not, why doesn't that bother you? If you were in a bar or out doing things you weren't supposed to do or in bed with somebody that you're not married to, what if he showed up at that moment? What if the shofar sounded and the archangel shouted? How would you feel? Would you even care? Suddenly by surprise. It's kind of like the young teenagers who mom and dad are away and come on over and one thing leads to another. Well, don't worry. And then the door opens and there's dad. Many will be surprised, not be ready. And like the foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamps, the door will be closed on them. Banging on the door, let us in. Sorry, I never knew you, because if I did know you, you would have been ready for me. You would have been waiting for me. Your hearts would have yearned for me. See, it's a promised surprise that can easily become a surprised promise. Well, I didn't really think he was going to do that. I wasn't expecting him to show up just yet. I'm so young, I have so much to do. I don't want to, what do you mean serve him full time? What do you mean give up this career or this, all the things I do and my friends and the... Yeah, I don't want to do that. Well, that's good. That's your choice. I don't understand it when I think what he did on the cross for me. There's nothing else I want to do but serve him. You know, going to Kansas in August is exciting and it's dangerous. There'll be hundreds, maybe even thousands. I don't even know. I don't know how many people that town can fit. All the hotels in that town and 20 miles around are booked because they want to celebrate that solar eclipse as it plunges that area into total darkness. They want to be in that town with that haunted house and 11 other haunted sites, one of the most haunted cities in Kansas, in one of the most haunted states in America. I want to be there to shine the glory of God. I want to be there to stand in the love and the grace and the mercy, but the authority of Messiah. I pray that people see something that they ask questions about. The enemy's not going to be asking questions. They're going to not like what they see. But I'm not there to seek and destroy. I'm there to seek and heal. Because I know he's coming. I have dreams every night that show me he's coming. Show me what's happening. Show me what the enemy's doing. Show me things that I can't share publicly unless he allows me to, but the king is coming. And he's coming suddenly, by surprise. Lord, come. You want to come right now? I'm good. I'll be disappointed I didn't get the job done. I'll be disappointed I ran out of time. But come. Your children are hurting. Come. This fallen world system is so dark and so depraved and beyond repair. Come. It's beyond redemption. It can only be redeemed by your appearance. I have no hope in this world or this government. I am like the Book of Acts Church. And for all the people out there that don't get that, and all the people that call themselves a part of the body that don't understand that, if you don't, I can't explain it to you. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, but it'll be done by force. The king will arrive with all of his angels and all the saints. He's coming as a warrior. He's coming as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's coming to fix what the enemy broke. Come, Lord. Surprise us. I'm ready for a surprise party, aren't you? Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son, in his power, in his authority, in his love. Please, Father, please, touch us, each and every one of us right now that are listening. Touch them, Lord. Speak to your children. They need hope. They need encouragement. They need blessings. I pray right now, Father, you would take away the power of the world out of their situations. Just like I have prayed for a benefactor for the porch and for SRT and all that we do, send a benefactor to them. Send a blessing or a person or an encouragement that takes the world out of the equation. We will not submit. At least I won't. Excuse me. That was for you and for the Lord. Excuse me. Won't submit. Won't give in. Won't lose hope. Because we believe you. We believe you're as good as your word. And we will keep our vow. You are our Lord and our God. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master, our Teacher. You are our everything. That is our vow. And we will serve you. And we will look for your coming. If you believe and agree with me, just say amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grun. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.